Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am so smart. I am so smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. And thanks for hanging around. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Walter Olson is our guest and our good friend, a member of our Brain Trust. Walter K. Olson is the author of The Litigation Explosion, and his newest book is called The Rule of Lawyers, How the New Litigation Elite Threatens America's Rule of Law. He's a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, and he's our good friend. Walter, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you back, as always, and it's always a pleasure. Walter, one of the things that we always can count on you to do is to bring to us some of the interesting stories. Well, they're interesting, maybe in a perverse way, about some of the things that they're up to and things that we need to know about. One of the things that I know you're working on recently is a case that's originating out of New York State on car leasing. Tell us about that.
Well, it's actually some good news for consumers and businesses, which is not something I can report all the time from the legal system. used to be that a lot of states had laws on car renting and car leasing, which if you had an accident in your leased car, it would make the leasing company, the company that held title to the car, 100% liable for your accident. And that, to most people nowadays, that sounds crazy, but this is from early on when there were only a few cars. And over the years, every other state either repealed that completely or said, well, they'll be liable, but only up to, like, the value of the car or something. And the exception was New York. And
now, this was only leasing cars, not renting cars.
Well, both leasing and renting
leasing
cars.
Leasing and renting.
So this, after a while, people noticed, you know, it is more expensive to rent or lease a car when you are paying out what was originally only occasional verdicts, but as lawyers figured out, wait a minute, there's this deep pocket here. So there would be crashes in which the, like one car crashes in which the driver was obviously at fault, and the next thing the lawyers had done, Ford or Honda or whoever was paying millions of dollars for their drivers or for their customers' negligence, and so.
Now wait a minute. So you're saying that if I leased a car from ABC Ford dealership, the local dealership, and they happen to use the Ford Motor Company or GMAC or whatever Ford Finance or whatever to arrange a financing deal that basically that we all agreed a lease was the better deal, and then of course they kept title to the car in a lease, don't they?
That's the way at least it
that's
works.
That's the nexus, isn't it?
If you have bought it on credit from Ford Motor Credit or one of the auto finance companies, then they would have no obligation to
ownership
pay.
Would change hand at that point.
Yeah. And instead, if you lease it, then whoever keeps title is on the hook under that New York law.
In a lease, the person, the company, or the manufacturer, or whatever, handling the lease would actually keep title. You would just be literally leasing the car.
Yeah. So early this year, for example, someone driving a budget rental car hit a pedestrian, and the pedestrian got a $20 million judgment.
And this is a rental. This is a rental car.
That's a rental. Uh-huh. In other cases, there have been these eight-digit awards against the car companies or against so-called independent leasers. And in New York, like other states, there were banks, there were small family-owned companies that were in the business of, if you weren't getting a lease through one of the companies, that, you know, the automakers, mm-hmm. Maybe because your credit wasn't good or for whatever other reason, these other companies would be there to take title to the car and lease it to you. That is still a big segment of the leasing industry. Mm-hmm. So in New York, it wasn't just like Chase Bank, which was one of the big players in this, but also all these little companies that were had been set up to do, 100 or 1,000 of these deals a year.
Right.
And suddenly they were potentially out of business or very often really out of business.
Well, they weren't, might not have been out of business. They didn't, might not realize it, but they were about to be out of business.
Yeah, exactly.
Stand by when we come back. $20 million budget had to pay because they rented a car to somebody. When we come back after these messages, we're going to find out some of the good news that Walter was telling us about. 20 till. Stay with us. And gentlemen.
And I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thanks for joining me today. Walter Olson is our guest. He's our good friend and the author of The Rule of Lawyers. I love your website, Walter, and especially the name. Tell us the name of your website.
My website is overlawyered.com. And it is.
And boy, howdy, is that the truth?
Been around for 6 years now, and it's got some serious and some funnier things, but it is about all the ways in which our legal system can be exasperating and surprising and dangerous to a business person.
You know, I realized how the differences between lawyers and business owners. One of my good friends, Walt Matthew. I've just lost his last name. Anyway, he's an attorney. He's on the show, and I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, he was talking on the show a while back, and he said, he's rightfully very proud of the jury system of the United States, and he said. He says, you know, I want to make sure that when small business owners get to court, that they get the best, you know, the best verdict possible through through our great jury system. And I said, you know what? I'm glad you do that, and I agree with you. But I said, my goal in life is to keep them out of court, for them to never have to get to court if it's at all possible. So I think we have two different perspectives. Let's get back to this case where the rental cars in New York City and lease cars in New York City were the people who were leasing these and renting these cars actually were putting themselves in jeopardy. And in fact, as you said, budget rent-a-car rented a car to somebody who ran over a pedestrian. The pedestrian was injured, not killed, and budget had to pay $20 million?
That was the verdict earlier this year, and it was one of many because these have been going on for years now across New York State. It's because it's a state law, not just city law. So,
but did they prove? Were they able to prove negligence?
Oh, that's the
on budget's
neat thing
part?
About the law is that they didn't have to prove negligence.
Really?
All they had to prove was the budget had title to the car.
Wow.
And so, you know, you hear sometimes about these make big business pay kind of laws. Oh, well, you know, that someone else will pay and this will be good for consumers. That I think most of the people in the audience can guess what happened next, which is that it stopped being as easy to lease a car in New York as
right.
it was in other states. And most of the big automakers pulled out and refused to do any leasing, the Honda and Chrysler and GM and others. And the ones that stayed in, like Nissan, would tack on like $750 or $1,000 just as a special in New York, try to cope with a litigation fee.
Right, right.
So what happened with those other automakers is that they would steer you into a purchase-lease-back type thing, which tried to duplicate the financial structure of a lease, but it had a couple of big disadvantages, one of them being that you had to pay sales tax on the entire vehicle,
mm-hmm.
even though you were going to give it back to them after 3 years.
Which would partially negate the advantage of a lease.
It certainly made it much less attractive, and
right.
it that money came right out of consumers' pockets. So there was a big demand in the state to join the other states and get rid of the law. And
was New York the only state that had this?
There had been a couple of others, Connecticut and Rhode Island, and in the last few years, I believe they repealed it too. So New York was left all by itself. And the... as I said, public opinion was pretty clear on it, and the newspapers were running pieces, and unfortunately the trial lawyers were so powerful in Albany that they simply refused to let it even come up. The Speaker of the New York Assembly is himself a practicing plaintiff's lawyer by day and with one of the big firms, and he just would not even let it come up for a vote. And so this just got... came to a head, and eventually what happened, and this is, I have very mixed feelings about this because but by and large it's dangerous for Congress to be stepping into the business of 50 states, but by this point people around the country had, had any dealings with New York on business, they would travel there on business, they were often aware of this, so Congress stepped in and said that no state will have a law that is this lopsided.
Right.
And that passed? That passed a few weeks ago in the transportation bill, and it took less than 24 hours for some of the major car makers to say, we're going to go back into New York and offer leases again. Mm.
So they actually had vacated New York in terms of leasing cars, hadn't they?
Yeah, they had, if you wanted to buy most of the big automakers' products, you could not get a lease from them. You could buy it from them. You could try to find someone else willing to take the title in a lease situation, but probably you would just wind up having to find some way of owning it.
Well, and see, this is a big deal for small businesses because a lot of small businesses lease cars because it's a much better way to capitalize to get an automobile without having to capitalize it, without having to put it on your books as a liability.
And it has flexibility that small businesses like and need as far as their changing need for vehicles,
especially for fleet vehicles.
Yeah.
For the rolling stock that we deliver our goods and services in, so we've got this thing's passed, and so now they're starting to come back to New York, and this is good news. Go ahead.
It is good news, and the ones that had tacked on that $750 charge are taking it off. So, very, very good for consumers. Too bad it took an act of Congress.
Exactly. Stand by. More over-lawyered stuff from our good friend Walter Olson right after these messages. Tim Till, the book is called The Rule of Lawyers. Atlanta Rhythm Section. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and if you would like to go back and hear anything that we do, again, if you'd like to hear a website, if you forget Walter's website and Walter Olson, who's our guest this half hour, or you want to know the name of his book, or go back and listen to some of the really smart stuff that he said to us today, you can still go back and do that on our website, and I hope you'll do that because we archive all of these things, and we keep them right there on the front page through the schedule or through the blog. So that you can go back and get them really easily. So I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. Walter, one thing I want to talk to you about, and I know you don't deal with the contract levels of business of the legal aspects of business all that much in your reporting, but there is something I wanted to get off my chest today, and I'd like your thoughts on it. I'm getting more and more contracts in these days that are, look, it's always been so that if I create the documents, my lawyer's going to create them a little to my advantage. If yours creates, if we always say when we go to the table, all right, who's going to do the documents? And one side or the other says, okay, we'll do them. And all right, well, you expect them to be in favor of the person that writes them. If you get a lease from a landlord, that lease is going to be in favor of the landlord. If you get a loan from a bank, the wording of that contract is going to be more in favor of the bank than you. I understand that. And you have to get a lawyer sometimes to help you to make sure that it's not too much one-sided. But there are, what I'm seeing now is I'm seeing sections of contracts that historically were equitable And one classic example is the indemnification clauses. Every contract typically has, virtually every contract, has a clause that talks about indemnifying, where I indemnify you and you indemnify me. In the old days, it would say the parties indemnify each other in the case of negligence or whatever it might be. And this is one of those things that you just basically agree to do for each other. These are to cover things that nobody expects to happen, but if they do, I indemnify you and you indemnify me. Now I'm seeing contracts that say that if they send me the contract, they say that the lawyers have written it such that you indemnify us, but nothing about them indemnifying me. And all that does, Walter, is create an adversarial relationship moment one.
Yeah. And I see companies swerving in a conservative direction, usually after there's been some legal development, either some new area of litigation has emerged as a threat, or there's some legislative development, and they will say, now it's uncertain what sort of liabilities we have. Let's redraft everything to try to cover our posteriors and minimize the liability. And then, as you say, they wind up taking something that was accepted business custom and making a potentially adversarial issue out of it. And
Why would I sign a contract that says that I indemnify them for, something that nobody could foresee, but yet they're not indemnifying me? I mean, why would anybody do that? And all it does is make me have to go back. It's very troubling to see that kind of language, regardless from which it manifested.
Yeah. Well, again, the implications differ somewhat from field to field, and there are ones where it's more dangerous and ones that it's less. I remember the first time I looked at a book contract, and it said, I've got to indemnify the publisher for its costs if I get sued for libel. Right. Oh my God, what's the frightening thing? And someone reassured me, that it is the custom in publishing that they will stand by you, and this just means that you've got to be part of the team, et cetera. But
it didn't say that, did it?
No, it didn't say that. It just looked as if I was signing over my rights to my firstborn.
And if it doesn't say that, then in a court of law, they don't have to do it.
Yeah. And again, the gap can be troubling. In the custom of publishing, they do support their authors, but if they don't legally have to, that might change someday.
Well, I guess my point that I wanted to bring up, folks, is some of these things can be more equitable than they are, and I recommend that you send it back to them and say, make this bilateral. Make it where it says, in this particular example, make sure it says the parties agree to indemnify each other.
And that, by the way, does some good. If you act on your concerns, mm-hmm. Then these redrafting of some contracts, they may think twice or they may go back.
It happens all the time, but we shouldn't have to do that. That's my point. Thank you, Walter, for being here. Give us your website one more time.
It's www.overlawyered.com.
Yeah, thanks, Walter. See you next time. Walter Olson, I'm Jim Blassingame. Take a quick break. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.